ask you a question?
Sure.
So like, if you're doing the, this is the sum of products, right?
Okay.
And this is the POS?
Okay.
Is it always like this? Can you just put the plus, you know what I mean, change these into the multiplication?
No, that's a, that, only this is a specialty.
Okay.
So, no. Not always, but it's, that's, in some cases, there could be some coincidences.
So you do De Morgan's Law twice, right?
Right, that's true. So there's a question about getting something in product of sums form. And now we have the other one, which is sum of products. And now sum of products, of course, looks like sum of products. But product of sums form looks like this. Something like this. And the approach is that first you get, instead of working on a function, you work on the complement of the function and get a sum of products form. Now once you get sum of products form, you apply De Morgan's law. And in general, you have to apply De Morgan's law twice, and then you will get your f equal to in product of sums form.
So you're saying you just take the complement of the product of sums, right?
Can you say that again?
Take the complement of the one you have and then use Morgan's law on it twice. So that's pretty
easy. Remember that here, when you get sum of products, you start, you use the function itself and get that in sum of products form. But here, in this case, you work on the complement of the function. And because of what you want to implement f. So the requirement is that you want f in product of sums form. Question?
So when you say that sum of products down there, you mean the sum of products that you get from the k-map of the zeros, right? Yeah. Not the...
Yeah, for the complement of f.
Yeah.
That is right. And so basically, yeah, you take, you get complement of f in sum of products form, apply De Morgan's law, and you get f in product of sums form.
Could you do an example really quick? You have a sum of products thing, and then just go through and convert it to product of sums.
So notice that I'm not saying that you take this sum of products and do something to it to get this. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you go to the function itself and look at its complement. So let's see an example. Okay, let's make an example here. Okay, here's a function, and let's make a function about okay, let's assume we have this and we want to get this in product of sums form. So, now we can write this as, now the blank things are zeros, right? So we can write this as this, and here this is B, and this central half is C, right? So we get F bar equal to, this is BC plus AC, right? Okay.
When drawing the K-map, should we circle the zeros or change the ones to zeros?
Well, you can do it either way, but whatever you do should be correct. So do you agree that this implements complement of F? So whatever you do, it has to be correct. So do you agree that this is complement of F? I could do it this way also. I could take this and I could get a... Now, the reason I pick zeros is that it saves me a step. But if you want, you could do this. So you say that this is the map for F, and this is a map for F bar, and you could create this, and that is going to give you 1, 1, 1, and then you will do this, but of course this is map for F bar, so you will write F bar equal to BC plus AC. So certainly you can do that too. It's the same thing really, because here we are writing this for complement of F. So we get complement of F. Any questions about the fact that these two approaches are the same? So once you get this, now, but of course, this is for F bar and not F, and you want F in sum of products form. So now you apply De Morgan's theorem on both sides. So I complement this, so this is just F, and this is this, right? I apply De Morgan's theorem once, and I get this. So this is one application of De Morgan's theorem. And apply De Morgan's theorem again. And now apply De Morgan's theorem here. So this is F in... How will it compare if we had gotten F in the usual sum of products form? What would have looked like? Just for comparison, let's see. What would be F in sum of products form? Let me see. I could take those, and then I would take those. So F would look like C bar plus these two, right? So these two would be A bar, B bar, right? So here is F in product of sums form. So this is how it looks in product of sums form, minimized. This is how it looks in product of sums form. It's also minimized. Now sometimes one form might give you a simpler expression. Sometimes other form might give you a simpler expression. Sometimes they might turn out to be similar. Any questions or comments?
So that one is like one you're talking about where...
This one?
Yeah,
that's true, yeah.
For it just becomes easily B naught plus C naught, right? Like it would be like just changing it. But what is the difference between the ones that do that and the ones that don't do that?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Like the one I showed you?
Okay, so you mean take this and change this from here? The you were showing me a case where that turns out to be a special case. So that will happen only in some special cases. So in general, things would be like this. So something looks like maybe like this in sum of products form, and might look like this in product of sums form. So in general, there is no obvious correspondence between here and here. So you can't really go from here to here simply by applying De Morgan's theorem. Any other questions or comments? Now let me mention something about the lab assignment, which is due, I think, is it this Thursday? Is this Thursday? And I noticed some of you have already done it. And now this is what let me mention about the purpose of this lab assignment. Of course, one purpose is that it's an exercise where you get to use a schematic capture package, which is what Logisim is, and you can verify that your circuit indeed works as it should. Now, another thing, a majority voter, it is actually a useful idea. It is used when people want to use a fault tolerance. So for example, there's some really reliable process they want to run. So they will have three copies of the process running, and then they will take a majority vote. So whatever the majority says is supposed to be the right answer. An assumption behind that is that it is more likely that one of the units is bad compared with the probability that two of the units are bad. So that is the basic idea behind majority voting. So it's a popular technique for achieving fault tolerance in hardware. It is also used for fault tolerance in software. So you can have three different copies of software running the same process. And then you take a majority vote and you go by whatever the majority vote says. Now in this lab assignment, you construct two circuits. And the functionality is identical. So they are running, you have the same inputs, right? So here the inputs are coming from this very same source. And here are the outputs. And you are doing a comparison. And then you generate a result of the comparison where these two outputs are same or not. Now this is actually also a general idea which is used for example, for testing. So for example, you have a chip here that you want to test. You want to see if this chip is good. So one way to test it would be to take a chip under test here. And they take a chip that is known to be good. Let's say somehow you get a good chip. And then you compare their outputs for all possible input combinations. And if they all agree all the time, that would verify that the chip under test is a good chip. And then like this concept is general. For example, when you do a design verification, and if you want to do automatic design verification, you have a design, and somehow, and you apply some inputs to this design, and you want to evaluate the response. And to evaluate the response, somehow you need to get some correct response, which you would have generated somehow, perhaps using simulation or maybe higher level specification. So you have a design that you want to verify, and somehow you generate a response that you know are good, and compare it with the response of the implementation that you want to evaluate. And if they compare, and if they are same, that shows that your design that you want to verify is the correct design. So I thought I'll mention that. That might be interesting.
So does that mean that LED only issued out of
Let's see. I guess I forget what the assignment says. So I think the assignment says that when you have a you have a copy of the assignment? Let's see. Okay. So we are saying output of this should be connected to the LED, which is lit when the two outputs are different. That means the two outputs are different. Okay, thanks. So you're using a, for comparison, you're using an exclusive OR, right?
Yes.
And if the two inputs are one, then what is the output?
Zero.
So output is zero. So, yeah, I guess that is what we want. Because you're using an exclusive OR, so when the things match, you want the output to be zero. So if you have not made any mistakes in one of the two designs, then your LED should always be zero, because the two inputs will always match. But if you have a design error in one of them, then for one of the combinations, this might become one. This is actually a nice package, and I was surprised how nicely it works. But I guess you, if you haven't used any other packages, then you would not have anything to compare it with. But it is much more friendly than some of the other things that I had seen before, especially in making taking wires and connecting one thing to the other. This one works very nicely. In some of the others, that was a big mess. You would have two wires that would seem to touch, and if you hadn't done it carefully, it would turn out that they are actually not connected. But this is this works nicely. I have put some ideas about the project on the course website, so you may want to look at that. And I forget when the project proposal is due. But so yes, the date is mentioned on the course website. So now your project will be evaluated on these things. Motivation, thoroughness of your research, the extent of research, how well you have researched the topic, and how well you have researched the sources. Now, what are the sources of information? You have the technical publications that are available on the web. So you have a number of news reports, technical publications, technical journals which are available on the web, and any other sources of research, sources of information. And expectation is that by the time you have done your report, you should be an expert in that topic to some extent. So if I take your report and give it to somebody to read, he will know that this is the current state of the art. And of course, how current it is. So that's one of the things I will look for. Presentation is certainly important. So one of the important things is how well the ideas are connected together, and then clarity of presentation. Now, some of the things that you should have in your project, you have to have a 100 to 150 word abstract in the beginning, which summarizes the whole paper. And you should have at least one illustration, and at least one something which has some hard numbers in it. So a table, it could be a table, could be an equation, it could be a numerical plot. At least six citations in proper format. So take a look at some of the papers and you will find there's a proper way of citing something. And the idea is that when somebody looks at your citation, somebody should be able to go and find that source of information. And also, your citation should include things like page numbers, dates, whatever. And at least two of them should be less than a year old, again, to make sure that your work is current. And I have a list of possible topics. Now, this is just something that I thought about, and this is not, you're not limited to this, but let me just read this list. Intel's teraflop chip. Has anyone heard about Intel's teraflop chip? Okay. So I thought that since I heard about it, so I thought, why not? That might make a good project. You may have to dig into it. So just taking the news report, that of course would not be enough. In your paper should not be based on a single source. So your view should not reflect the view of a single article, but you should have seen multiple things, and based on that you should have come to your observations or conclusions. But that could be something interesting. You could look at the teraflop chip, examine the background, see what people say, what are the comparable things, and so on. Multi-core processor architecture, comparison of currently available popular processors. I thought that might be interesting, because things seem to have become confusing. You have this Pentium chip, you have that, what is that? What are the popular chips?
AMD.
You have the AMD, so what are the, you have a few AMD chips, and you have a few Intel chips, and they have their different numbers. For example, they now have this thing called Pentium Dual Core. And unless you look it up, it will be hard to figure out what exactly is Pentium Dual Core. And how do you compare these processors? So, comparison of currently available popular processors. Outlook for Moore's Law. How many of you have heard about Moore's Law? So this is about the rate at which technology is evolving, specifically number of transistors on the chip. So, is it going to be, is it going to continue, or is it, will it reach saturation, and what is happening? And are there any breakthroughs that will allow, has anyone heard about any breakthroughs regarding Moore's Law? Well, search and see what you find. Current status of the MIPS processor in the market, that's the one that we are looking at. So it would be interesting to see what is happening with that interesting processor we are looking at in the class. Media processors, now that's an example of a special purpose processor. FPGAs, recent advances, advances in graphics cards, blade servers, economics of computer organization and architecture. There are some economic issues involved. Evolution of memory chips. Intel AMD competition. Certainly appropriate for Fort Collins, because we have both companies here in Fort Collins. So who do you think is going to win? Or do you think that the competition will just continue? Oh, you're hoping that it continues? So you don't want one of them to win. I think that's a good thing, because I think competition is always good, right? Advances, economics of memory chips, chip makers and stock market trends. I thought that would be an interesting subject. I don't know if any of you have a special interest in the stock market, but I suppose that's a valid question. So you have this big segment of the economy which is directly related with computer architecture. So if you know about computer architecture, if you know about processors, so you should be able to make projections about where to put your money. Digital circuit simulators. Logisim is an example of a digital circuit simulator. There are several others. This one is more academic. There are some professional industrial strength. So that's an interesting thing. Implementing something interesting using a simulator. So if you are interested in those kind of things, you can get hold of some simulator and construct something interesting. Something that hasn't been done, something that isn't available on the web, because if it is something that is available on the web, of course, not much fun in trying to implement that. A new Java applet to illustrate a key concept in computer science. So there are several interesting concepts in computer science, and they could be nicely illustrated in using a Java applet. But before you do that, make sure you check the web to see it hasn't been done. Because there are some interesting, very interesting things that are available. How many of you have come across applets that I guess some of you have that illustrate some part of computer architecture in general? There are several different things. So there are some interesting things that are out there, but there are some things that are not there. So if some of you are interested, that could be an interesting project.
Does that involve actually building the applet?
Pardon me?
So then you'd be actually building it?
Yeah, so you would be actually building the applet.
And writing the paper, or is it like you can just do one job?
Well, you will build an applet, and you will report on your applet. So your report would describe how you built the applet, why you did it, some screenshots showing how it works and so on. So, but of course the main thing would be implementing the applet. So these are some of the possible ideas.
This is individual too, right?
All these projects? Yeah, I was thinking of individual projects. I suppose if if maybe if two of you want to collaborate together, I suppose that is possible. And but then it has to be twice the amount of work. Two requirements. So two of you work together, it has to be worth two persons' worth of effort. And secondly, you need to indicate about specific sections that were done by each individual. Or you could say that I focus on this part, I focus on this part, and this part we worked on together. So yeah, I think two persons can collaborate, but I guess we would probably limit that to two. The three might be hard to grade it.
Do you have names of some sources that you define those kinds of topics?
Oh, these topics?
Yeah.
Well, that's a part of the work, finding sources. So,
I don't have a general idea.
Okay, so how do you find, let's say, okay, let's ask this question. Let's say Intel teraflop chips. So how will you get started? Any suggestions? Google? Okay. Okay, so you use, put that in Google, and you get a bunch of links, then what do? And you have to do some intelligent searching. So you first find some links, look at them, and see what they lead you to, and hopefully, and oh, so. So you can start searching, I guess, Google is usually a good point for searching because it will give you some good leads. And of course there's Google, and there's Google News. So for some of the, I think it would be a good idea to search for both of them separately.
Google can also search patents specifically. That'll be useful.
Yeah, Google, I think there's a Google patent search, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Google patents. So yeah, so you can find out what people have patented. And you should search IEEE Explore and ACM Digital Library. And IEEE Explore. Okay, how many of you have used them before? Okay, so basically, you go to the CSU Libraries website, and these are listed under databases or something. So, so go to the library's website and find out these resources: ECM Digital Library and IEEE Explore. And if you go through library, then you will get direct access to them. So the library has a subscription to them. So as students, you have access to them. If you are logging in from home, then you will not be able to. You may not be able to access them until you prove that you are a CSU student. So if you're searching from home, you go to CSU Libraries webpage, and through the library webpage, go to these. So this has a number of journals and magazines published by ACM, number of magazines, journals, and conferences by IEEE. And again, some of them, they have a very good information. Yeah, so after you go to the library's webpage, then go to IEEE Explore or ACM Digital Library webpage, and then somewhere when you are about to access a specific publication, it will ask you to put in your student ID and something, so that way it will verify that you are a student. And basically, you will be accessing these using a proxy server. So you will be allowed access to these through the proxy server. Those are other two very important sources of information that you should search. Any questions or comments? And remember that there would be a progress report due sometime between the proposal and the final report, and the dates are.
What exactly needs to be in the proposal?
Proposal should include basically what you will do, and briefly mention about the motivation, why you want to look at that, and mention the approach you will take. So what things you will look at, or if you're building something, how you would you approach that, and include at least a few references. So when you include some references, that will show me that you have done at least some preliminary research, so you know where some of the things are.
I assume it would also be good to mention the scope that you're planning to cover?
Right, yeah, that would be a good idea, yeah. Yeah, so something like, maybe two, three paragraphs or something like that.